Good morning. Today's class is Lunishma Yerkmel Dan and Gadayas and Benema and Daniel Cohen Ben Yafa, also for Shalim Harav Shalmi Yamina. Harav Daniel Ben Sara and Elisha Magali Beshifalaya, Mayor Tuva Ben Chaya, also Reina Bat Bahia. May Hashem give her a successful surgery. Discussing Yashmai Ben Elisha Ben Abba, Gadiel Ben Elisha, Emmet Ben Elisha, Shefa Bat Elisha, Reina Malka Batova Basha. Please share and rate the podcast. Today's class is really, really a great topic. Everything from Rav Nachman is a great topic, but we're really, really going to talk about lesson 9, lesson 225, and also a great, great concept from the book of the Noam Elimelech on the Parsha of the Week, on how to really, really maximize whatever is destined to us. Our job is really, really to maximize it. There's certain things in life that can fortunately cut off that. We've said this many times, how anytime worry, how worry disconnects you, prayer reconnects you. Worry disconnects you, prayer reconnects you. That was just, it was incredible going to the Heat game two nights ago. And the Heat fans are very laid back. They clap, they dance, but the Knicks fans sitting next, they were so nervous in general. You know, every call was like a major anxiety attack. Just this nervous energy that I felt, and like this Virgo nervous energy. Not everything's perfect, and nervous. And we're going to talk about practically how chronic worrying affects you. It affects you spiritually. It affects your relationships. It's something that you really, really have to start learning how to breathe. This class is going to teach you an amazing concept on how breathing affects everything. I took a breathing class in Turk and Caicos, and I started doing Tai Chi and all this kind of stuff. And really, really after that, really going deep into breathing, my workouts are different. Everything's different because when you start monitoring your breath, you could start monitoring also your emotions. Pretty much every single emotion affects the way you breathe. So the more mindful you are, the more you recognize, okay, what's happening here? And you could change it. And sometimes what we need is we need healthy lungs. And this is what on Shavuot itself, Rav Nachman says that Shavuot is a cure for the lungs. Why Shavuot is cure for the lungs, practically? What's the practicality of that? The lungs represent the Torah. The lungs represent the five lobes of the lungs, represents the receiving the Torah, right? Five books, five lobes of the lungs. So when I'm learning and I'm praying, I'm actually getting a deep, fresh air. I'm getting some air. I'm getting new air. You listen to a class, you're getting a new air. You know, people tell me, oh, I listen to the class, it empowers me, and it gives me chizuk, it gets me focused. Yes, because it's fresh air. Now you have a mind of toxicity. But when you learn Torah, you get fresh air. You get a new vitality. You get a new breath. New breath is a new attitude. So this is why it's extremely important that the heart, the Zohar says, the heart is always pumping. The practicality of that means it's either pumping through for desires or pumping to emotionally. With anger, control, whatever's happening in our lives. But our job is to cool down that heart, to monitor the breath, have that calm confidence instead of that anxiety that we have. We always think, you know, and this is the what society made us with the phones, and it's the ADHD on steroids, everybody. Everybody's so anxious to be in the next moment, and then once they get to the next moment, they want to be in the next moment. And then the ego is telling you always, you're never here. It's the hardest thing to stop. The hardest thing is to stop. And believe it or not, our Creator just wants us to stop. So the Parshas Behar says it exactly. It says when the Jews were commanded to take the Shabbat off, right? They were commanded to take the Shabbat off. The word command, what happens? Because they were commanded to take the day off, they were to be blessed for 3 years. And if you shall say, what will we eat in the seventh year? Behold, we will not sow, we will not gather our crops. I commanded my blessing for you in the sixth year, and you would yield 3 sufficient years. So this is from Parshas Vayikra, Parshas. Basically, God's telling you, take the 7th year off, and I'm going to give you enough for 3 years. That's a great deal. That's a great deal. But you have to take the 7th year off, and you have to enjoy, and you have to live like a human being. The whole problem is once we recognize it's not really it's the questions. Anytime you question something, there's a lot of fear. Fear of losing control, right? Abraham Avinu questioned, how will I know that we will be redeemed? What happened? The exile came from that. Questions have fear. So when you question your creator, instead of submitting to your creator, this causes a blemish on high. And this blemish on high really affects the relationship. You know, when you're going out with somebody and they question your trust. They question, are you cheating on me? That affects the person. If the person let's say the person is innocent, but the fact that they were questioned whether or not they were cheated, that affects the relationship one way or the other. Because it's now implying that I don't really trust you and I'm a fearful person and I'm paranoid about everything. One thing is if you have a track record of this, that's a whole different story. But once you get a called out on this stuff and you know it's nothing but fear and projection, it affects the relationship. It affects the relationship. It causes a burden on the relationship because instead of going north, now all of a sudden you're going backwards. And this affects the relationship, and it causes resentment. It doesn't allow flow to go there. Practically, that's a practical thing. You know, same thing. If you think your partner's cheating on you, you know, how much business can you do? How much trust can you have? You're always worrying about what is he doing? Who is he talking to? That is a problem. And the reason why it's a problem is because, again, we can't allow flow. And the same thing, this happens on heaven. If you keep on questioning heaven every single time something happens, and every single time you keep on questioning your creator, this is burdening your creator. And this burdening your creator causes a blemish on high. And what that does, it disconnects the person. So this is where he says here, it was taught in the name of the illustrious Rabbi Zushel of Hanipoli. We must be careful how the Torah says, uses the extra word, and the extra word here is command. And he's saying here, and if the Torah says, I commanded my blessing to you, that would be enough. At the end, it would have been, what shall we eat? Right? Perhaps the answer, Hashem created the world in His goodness and created Shefa in abundance to fulfill man's kind. The blessings of Shefa are ceaseless. They come down. But when a man falls from his spiritual level and he lacks trust in his creator, his provider who sustained him and sustained him for all his times, this causes this impurity, this fear, causes a blemish above. And what that does, it disrupts the Shefa. Just like a relationship, it disrupts the peace. Because now you're dealing with an investigation all of a sudden. It disrupts the flow. We got to keep the flow moving. It causes a bottleneck. It disrupts it. So what happens practically? The practicality is now you have to go talk about this. And you have to build that trust again. And then you're getting back to the same place where you were before. It's not like you're advancing. You're still getting... You're not really advancing that much. You're just getting to the same place where you were before. So what that does is exactly in heaven does this exact same thing. Hashem has to now, when you put a burden in heaven by worrying all the time and asking questions, what will we eat? When God's telling you, who's providing you for everything, is telling you, take it off, I'm going to take care of you for 3 years. What will we eat? What kind of question is that? That question shows fear. And that question, unfortunately, disrupts the heavenly realm, puts a burden on your creator. And then heaven has to now reconnect your pipe. Because what happens? You disconnected the pipe. That's where the worry disconnects you. prayer reconnects you. Right? If heaven forbid he falls from lacking trust, what will he eat? He damages the shefa of blessing. It puts a burden on heaven. And Hashem has to be now reconnect the pipe for this person. This lack of trust creates a stopper of the flow of shefa. Then you will burden me, says Hashem, and I will have to command, reconnect my blessing to you. You know, you ever tell a person, I don't want to bother you, but I have another question. I don't want to bother you. Yes, get the point. Your job in this world is to build trust as much as you can. And you have to let go of any form of control, and you have to submit yourself. And I know this sounds completely ridiculous to people, especially if they're control freaks. You have to do your due diligence. You have to go to work. You have to do it. But you need to know how to let go. It's so important. So many of us are suffering because we don't know how to let go. We want to control God. We want to play God. That's the first step in recovery, playing God. You have to stop playing God. If God tells you, submit yourself to it. And if when you don't, all you're doing is causing a burden, and now he has to reconnect you. And I always gave the greatest analogy of this is running off with a pump in the gas station. Just running off with a pump. You don't even recognize. You're in your head. You're pumping gas. You run off with a pump. Everybody's yelling, hey, you took off the pump. Next thing you know, the pump's in the ground. There's gas all over the place. Place smells terrible. And then all of a sudden, you have to go inside. You have to speak to this manager who's going to give you a DMV face. And he's going to say, can't you pay attention? And he has to go stop. He can't wait on the customers. He has to go stop. Stop everything he's doing to go to the pump and now reconnect the pump. And this puts a burden on the manager. And guess what? Imagine doing that every single day. You'd probably be arrested. Imagine you went to the gas station, you ran off of the pump every single day. They would tell you, what's with you already? But this is what we do in heaven. We keep on questioning. We keep on questioning our Creator because we lack trust. And then we wonder, why is this not flowing? Why is this not flowing? You know, people always tell you, I'll breathe when I make the deal. No. No. When you breathe, you'll make the deal. You don't need to wait to breathe after you make the deal. Start breathing, and then you'll make the deal. Start being trustful, and then the relationship will flourish. Not once I see trust, I'll believe in the person. No, you can't do that. Because a lot of this is all your own projections. And Reb Nachman says this. He says this perfectly in Lesson 225. Reb Nachman says, no, when the lungs are perfect, it causes trust to be perfect. For in Maine, trust is perfected by the means of the intellect, right? My consciousness, I live in a consciousness of trust. So when something happens, I don't worry about it. I say it's for the best. That means trust. I'm challenged. You know, there's a concept that hard work, if you love hard work, it becomes passion. If you hate hard work, it becomes stress. At the end of the day, the hard work is there, but how do you view it? And he takes it from Psalms 145, when we say Ashrei, what does it say? Everybody's eyes look up to you with hope. Eyes are the aspect of intellect. The eyes of them were both open. Rashi says when a person has wisdom, his eyes are opened. And he says, according to your degree of intellect is your degree of trust. That means I cannot raise consciously if I don't have bitachon. If I don't have trust in my life, that I cannot raise on a conscious level. This is because there are many degrees of trust. And the intellect primarily depends on the lungs. So what is he saying here? The intellect primarily relies on the lungs. Because the lungs, what the lungs do, the lung is the fan for the computer. If the computer did not have a fan, it would burn the computer. So the lungs have to constantly, my lungs, breathing, for example, when you work out, if you breathe the right way, you can do much more weight. because you need to know when to inhale and when to exhale. If you're doing it the wrong way, it's actually, you'll panic. So to the extent that I can breathe in constantly, breathe in fresh air, and monitor my breath, taking deep breaths, this calms down the heart and allows me to contemplate with everything. But if I don't breathe, and I'm not aware, and we know that what controls our breath, right? Our nervous system, right? Our nervous system controls our breath. So if we're not controlling our nervous system, we don't even know how we're breathing, and we're subconsciously always nervous, we don't even recognize it. And what happens is, this causes every situation in life to be a threat. And then, anything, whether it could be a simple, you know, carb, it could be a simple water bill, or it could be somebody dented you in the car, everything becomes anxiety, 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 because you have not recognized this pattern. Understand? So anytime that I start getting a little anxious right away, I go into deep breathing. I stop deep breathing because I'm saying something's happening here. I need oxygen. You need oxygen. Oxygen is the spirituality, and oxygen also is physical breath. It calms down the heart. It regulates the heart. It calms you down. It activates the parasympathetic system, which is the relaxed response, which is the emuna response. And what that does is allows you to have contemplation. It cools down. Because what happens? I have a certain amount of oil in my brain. If the heart is always pumping, what happens? It eventually will rise to the brain if it's got no lungs or nothing to cool it off, and it's going to make me nuts. It's going to make me angry. It's going to, you know, when a person says he lost his mind, what does that mean? You lost your mind? That means you weren't breathing. I lost my mind. If I breathed, I wouldn't lose my mind. He's losing his mind. How many times do you hear that word? He's losing his mind. Yeah, he's losing his machim. He's losing his... This is why anger ultimately anger itself is you didn't breathe. Anger is a reaction, not a response. We breathe and we respond. But you have to get used to this. So remember, breathing is not just Wim Hof's 15 minutes. It's talking about what are you intaking in your life? What is your oxygen? Where is your oxygen coming from? Is your oxygen coming from Jay-Z? Is your oxygen coming from... Who are you getting your vitality? We're getting our vitality from Rabbi Nachman. He's constantly pumping oxygen. Because we know that we need this oxygen. We listen to a class, we get oxygen. We pray, we get oxygen, if you're praying with the heart. But we reignite and we cool down the heart. So there we have contemplation. This is why it's good, always good to learn and learn first and then pray afterwards, because you're getting oxygen. But when we're walking around, we're listening to, you know, this person and that person. It's coming from not a pure place. You have to be very careful where you're listening from, because that place affects you. It affects you. You listen to the wrong song, yes, it can give you a little bit of a little dopamine, but so can cocaine. And what do you think comes afterwards? A drop. You have to be careful where you get your ruach from. God forbid. A bad ruach doesn't cool down the heart. Reignites the heart. It actually gives it more of a just like you have a fire. You can either propel the fire and it gets stronger, or it can knock off. But if you listen to the wrong, your heart is constantly pumping. It's pumping one way or the other. You need constant cool. That's going to give you bitachon. That's going to give you. So he's saying here, your intellect depends on the lungs. The reason is that the intellect depends on the moisture that rises to the brain. This is the aspect of the oil. The brain itself is the wick, and the soul is the brain is the light. And the intellect is maintained primarily by the moisture. And the moisture depends upon the lungs. And this is why the Zohar says, if it's not for the lungs fanning the heart will consume the entire body. Right? It would consume the proper body. Even when a person has relations, the type of relations you have, when you're having relations with your wife, let's hope it's your wife. Let's hope. But if you recognize the breath has to be, if you're going to have a child, it's extremely important that you should breathe, have a healthy breath. because you want the seed to go in with flow, with you don't want the seed to go in premature with too much heat. But if the person's having relations out of lust, what happens? He doesn't have that long breath. He has the shortened breath like a dog. You understand? The shortened breath. There's no vitality in that breath. So when you have lust, your breath stops. Your breath stops, and you have a shortened breath. So that affects the child. It affects the vitality of the child. So your breath is extremely important, how you monitor your breath. But your breath is not, again, let's not confuse. Yes, I also do my breathing. I also have my breath. It calms you down. But he's talking here, more importantly, what are you listening to? Where are you getting your breath from? Is that person reigniting you? Are they reigniting your faith? Are they cooling down your passions? Or are they causing more? This is why when a person is jealous, what happens to his breath? Right? He stops his breath. Person is jealous, he can't breathe. Can't breathe. Again, lack of vitality, lack of this. Your breath is everything. And this is why neshama, soul, neshima, breath. So this is why it's extremely important. When I'm learning, I'm considering like I'm breathing. Right now, I'm breathing oxygen. So I feel much better. I'm much more likely to handle things with better intellect. But the days that we don't listen, the days that we don't learn, the days that we don't pray, we're very agitated those days. The breath is very short agitated. We're very agitated. You know, when we're tired, we're very agitated. You know, we have very low tolerance for small things. And that's because those days, I see the difference. When I do my morning routine and I'm on my spiritual game, I have a long breath. I have an extended breath. I have vitality. I see the big picture. I'm in response mode. But when I those days that I don't do that, I am in reaction, Scorpio, moodiness, lack of breath. That means our mood is showing us where we're at. And this is through the lungs, and the moisture is maintained, not dried out by the heart. This maintains the intellect, which is the lamp of fuel. So again, your ability to develop yourself spiritually is definitely going to be based on, how, number one, cooling your desires, but more importantly, having a daily routine on how to monitor the breath, thereby invoking the relaxed response, which is the opposite of the fight or flight. Right, Herbert Benson came out with a relaxed response in the same place in Harvard that the other, I forgot who came out with the fight or flight, but pretty much 40 to 60 years afterwards, one was created, and basically it's the exact opposite of the fight or flight. So we have to start giving ourselves a lot of vitality. Don't think, oh, I forgot to pray, I forgot to do this. I forgot to listen to a class, or I forgot to do exercise. All of this stuff you need new oxygen constantly. You can't look at it as an option. I never forget going to China. And when you go to China, you can't breathe. You can only breathe in the hotel. It's horrible. But for them, they don't see a difference. But it's so much pollution that every breath you're taking, you appreciate. Because you're literally out of breath of toxicity. China is full of every tava in the world in China. There's a lack of vitality there. You understand? There's a lack of vitality, a lack of spirituality. It's money, 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 money. Everything's a whole rat race over there. But you felt it in the air. So this is where it's extremely important that we should all have a morning ritual, physically breathing, but most importantly, breathing in. Because otherwise, when imagine you're a very anxious person and God tells you, listen, imagine you're a chronic worrier and God tells you, I need you to take a year off of your business. You're gonna have a panic attack. But if you're a person that trusts in God, you're gonna say, absolutely, I would love to take the year off. Two people having either a panic attack or they're excited. It's extremely important that we understand this lesson. And the last thing we want to do, if we don't monitor our subconscious, then yes, we can be affected financially, we can be affected in relationships, because we're always worrying about what's going to happen. And then that actually causes a manifestation of what's going to happen, And then at the end of the day, all you're doing is basically spitting in the wind. And you're wondering, who spit at you? What do you think happens if you spit in the wind? It's going to come right back to you. Stop spitting in the wind. Have a great day.